Thank you, Pastor. God bless you. Amen. Well, it's preaching time. Take your Bibles, turn to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. You might be sitting here tonight saying, "Preacher, I am so tired." You ought to be the one doing the preaching every night. Amen. Pastor, I didn't want you to sing this week. I didn't want to wear you out. It's like, well, you failed miserably at that. Amen. I am running on fumes tonight. Praise the Lord. But I'm excited. Man, what an amazing report on that. And that's not all the cards. All the cards hadn't been turned in. Amen. Yeah. By the time it's over with, y'all might be up over $85,000. You never know. And listen, there ain't no rule that says you can't increase it before next commissions conference.
That's right.
Come on now. God might deal with you next week or week after next or a month from now. You just go on ahead and bump it up then. Amen. Yeah. You just mind the Lord. Amen. You mind the Lord. But I believe with all my heart that God has got great things in store for this church in the area of world missions, world evangelism. And I'm thankful I've been here, had a very small part in it. Excited to see these missionaries get taken on. Amen. That nudges them up a little bit closer to the field. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we're in 1 Kings chapter 17 tonight. I know the service is a victory service. We're supposed to run laps and shout and holler, amen. And so we'll see what happens when the message is over, whether or not it's that kind of message. I don't know. This thing could go any direction. We'll just try to follow the Lord. Amen. I'm ready to get home. I know this. I got to leave early in the morning, fly back home. I'll get back to Baltimore about 2 o'clock. And then I got to teach Bible college for 2 hours tomorrow night. So I probably will sleep real, real good Monday night. But I'm excited about having been here. I've had a great time meeting all of y'all. I've enjoyed the services, enjoyed the fellowship. Let's see what God's got for us in 1 Kings chapter 17. The Bible says in verse 1, Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. It shall be, thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." So he went, and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went, dwelt by the brook Cherith, for it that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." So he arose, and the Bible says he went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering the sticks. And he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering 2 sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me. And after make for thee and for thy son, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. Verse 16, "And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah." Lord, pray that you take the message tonight. Speak to hearts. Lord, bring some truths out of these verses, Lord, that would be forever ingrained in our hearts and our minds. And we thank you for what you've done this week. Thank you, Lord, for the great report of the increase in the faith promise, Father. We're trusting for even greater things in the days ahead. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for standing. You can be seated. I thought as I was reading the text again this evening, how many times this week we have read a passage of Scripture that in some way, shape, or form alluded to a famine or a drought or the hunger of the people around the world. I'm not going to keep beating a dead horse, but it's right there in the text. There was a famine in the land. There was a drought in the land. And we've said that multiple times this week already. But we know we're living in a day of tremendous drought. There's just a thirst. There's a hunger for the things of God. There's people all over the country that are, even in all of our Baptist churches, are starving to death. Preachers are not preaching. I'm amazed at how many preachers get in the pulpit and spend 45 minutes saying absolutely nothing. I mean, the people leave just as hungry as they were when they walked in the door. a lot of places. There's just no food. There's no water. There's no life-giving bread or nutrients. And boy, people are starving. But I'm not going to get into all that. That's not the part of the message that I wanted to focus on. I just wanted to really focus tonight on this, this giving by faith. That's the theme of this conference. And that was what we did this morning when we filled out those pledges, was the giving by faith. And I just thought about the servants of God, just like Elijah here in verse number one, verse number three, when God said, "Get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan." We see that God said, "I've commanded the ravens there to feed thee." And so we see the servants of God are always having to live by faith. I mean, they go where they're told to go. They don't have no idea what's waiting for them when they get there. It's not fair. I don't think it's fair, and I don't think it's right for missionaries to have to live by faith and church members not have to live by faith.
Come on now.
Come on now. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. And if we're going to send somebody halfway around the world and tell them to serve God and trust God and live by faith, then I think we ought to be able to stand up there beside them and show a little bit of living by faith as well. Amen.
Yes,
and that's the problem. A lot of times there's a disconnect between what we expect of pastors, we expected of our evangelists coming in, and they're supposed to trust God for everything, and yet we have to know ahead of time what all is going to happen before we agree to it and sign off on it. God told him to go to the brook. That's where he went. And God said, "I've commanded the ravens to feed thee." And there's no indication here in verse number four that God told him what the ravens was going to bring him. Ravens normally bring worms. That's what they dig up and feed to their babies, is worms and bugs. He says, "I've commanded the ravens to feed thee." For all he knew, he was going to have to eat bugs and eat worms. I mean, he had no idea what God was going to do. All right? And I can tell you this, I live in Baltimore, Maryland, where the Baltimore Ravens are, and they ain't done nothing for me. So I'm confident he wasn't expecting the ravens to do much for him, but he went anyway because that's what God told him to do. He went where God told him to go, and the Bible says he commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Well, you get over to verse number five. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, and for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith. That's before Jordan. Verse six, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Boy, I'll tell you what, God's really rolling out the carpet for him, is he not? I mean, these ravens are bringing him bread and flesh. I can't help but believe that they might have been just swooping off over there and stealing some steaks off of Ahab's grill. Amen. I believe that they was going over to Ahab's house. Amen. Every time he have a cookout, and he was grabbing some chicken legs. He was grabbing some boneless chicken breast. So he was grabbing some T-bone steaks and filet mignon. I don't know. But the Bible says bread and flesh. Brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. Boy, God's taking care of him. He's enjoying the blessings of God because he stepped out by faith, because he went where God told him to go, because he didn't ask a lot of questions, because he didn't ask to see a spreadsheet. He didn't ask for advance payment. He just went where God told him to go, and God provided for him, and that's how it works when you trust God. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting and confiding in His great love. That's the song. Living by faith. That was Dr. Lester Roloff's favorite song. Living by faith. There's no greater life than living by faith. It's an adrenaline rush every day. It's a thrill watching what God is going to do. That brother shared the testimony a little bit ago about just going ahead and tithing and saying, "I know I'm going to come up short." You didn't come up short. You come out ahead. Amen. And that's really what this message is about tonight. When you go where God told you to go and you do what God tells you to do, I promise you, you will not come out on the short end of the stick. Servants of God go where they're told. And they have to trust God for every meal. Every meal. I mean, he had to just sit there and wait. And you know, he's probably human like us. He probably sat there. He's just watching the sun start to go down. He's wondering, "Are those ravens going to bring me some supper? They brought me supper last night. They brought me breakfast this morning. They brought me supper the night before. They brought me supper yesterday morning. They brought me breakfast yesterday morning. But I wonder if they're going to bring me supper tonight." Just living by faith, expecting God, just waiting to see what God's going to do. The assurances that we have from God is that if we trust Him, He'll bless us. That's all we have. That's all you need. I mean, missionaries do not have an alternate source on the mission field. I dealt with this morning during the Sunday school hour. I mean, he's over there by this brook. It ain't like he can go to Walmart and buy supper if the ravens play hooky.
Right.
It's what the ravens bring him or nothing. I mean, there's no alternate, there's no plan B, there's no backup plan. Missionaries on the field don't have an alternate income source. They don't have ways on the field to supplement their income. They're just living by faith, trusting God that the churches that take them on like y'all just did, where you said we're going to support you, we're going to get behind you, we believe in what you're doing and we want to partner with you. They get to the field and that's what they're trusting and hoping, that you keep your word on this end. But when they get over there, ultimately they're not putting their faith in you, they're putting their faith in God, because God's the one that sent them, God's the one that told them to go there, God's the one that called them there. So you've got to trust God. They trust God for every single meal, just like the man of God did here. A lot of people in America don't have no idea what it's like to trust God for every meal. I have no idea. But I think it's fascinating. You get over to verse number 7. It came to pass after a while the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Of course the brook dried up. That's what, where the water comes from in a brook, is it comes from the rain as it falls on the mountains and it comes running down. I was talking to Brother Scott Sands. He pastors over in Challis, Idaho. I've had the opportunity to preach a couple of missions conferences for them. Beautiful country in a town. Are you ready? A town of 900 people.
Wow.
Challis, Idaho. That's the closest to heaven you're going to get. The beautiful mountains, in the distance. You've got horses, you've got pastures, you've got real cowboys. And you've got 900 people. I mean, you've got plenty of elbow room. You ain't got to stand in line at the grocery store there. The closest Walmart's 2.5 hours away. Out in the middle of nowhere. And he called me. I told him, man, we're getting snow. I said, we got snow galore. I said, what about y'all? He said, we hadn't got no snow. No snow. These mountains are always snow-capped. He said, there ain't a snow. No. He said, we're worried about the rivers drying up. And the Bible says, because of the famine, the brook dried up. Well, and the Lord came to him saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath. Why would God tell him to move? Well, when the brook dries up, you've got one of two options. You've got to leave or you've got to drink dirt. I've had some people call me. They said, man, the church I'm in is dead as a hammer. Preacher don't preach. He's a compromiser. They're bringing in the wrong kind of music. They're trying to change the Bible version. They said they're going in a different direction. Said, what do you think we ought to do? And I said, well, when the brook dries up, you've either got to leave or you got to stay and feed your family dirt.
Yeah, right.
It's only two options.
Come on.
Brook dries up. You got to go. You can't stay there. And so the Bible says, he said, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So God is already guiding him now to his next place, telling him exactly where he's supposed to go, telling him the same thing he said in verse number 4, I'm going to take care of you, just go. So he did. He arose and went to Zarephath, because that's what the servants of God do. They go where God tells them to go. When God says jump, you jump. Amen. When you get orders from headquarters and you're a soldier in his army, you go where you're told to go.
Right.
God told me to go to Africa in 2000. We went to Africa. In 2006, God told me to leave Africa and go to Taylor, South Carolina. I said, yes, sir. Packed up. And 2 weeks later, I was in Taylor, South Carolina. I was there for 8 years. I did my best to be faithful. I've just served and labored. And then in 2014, God said, I want you to go to Baltimore, Maryland. Everybody's like, you're going to Baltimore? I said, there ain't no sense in even arguing with God about it. He's done told me. That's where he wants me to go. And you cannot win in a man-to-man conversation with a God.
Yeah.
Amen. You might as well just say yes, sir. The sooner you say yes, sir, the quicker you can go ahead and get the U-Haul there and go ahead and get your stuff packed up. Because when God says go, you go.
Yes, right.
The Bible says, arise, get thee to Zarephath. And so he arose and went to Zarephath. Then he came to the gate of the city. Behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. I love that word there. That word there is in verse number 9. Yeah. Get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Guess what? He got to Zarephath, and guess what? The widow woman was there. What about that? And amazing how God's always got it put together.
Amen.
Here's the crazy thing. I'm fixing to get real up in here now.
Yeah. Come on.
All right. God, the Bible says God commanded the ravens in verse number 4 to feed thee. And the ravens fed him.
Yeah.
Without argument. Without hesitation. There was no business meeting. There was no inventory. There was no sitting down and running the calculations. God told the ravens, I want you to go feed that man of God bread and flesh. And they fed him bread and flesh. Well, he commanded the ravens to feed the man of God. And they did. Without hesitation. God commanded the widow woman to sustain the man of God in verse number 9. But it wasn't quite as smooth. There was a little bit of a glitch. Is everybody still with me?
Come on
Because he walked in up to her in verse number 10 and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Well, he commanded her to sustain him. Now, she's a widow. She's got no husband. She's got no help. She's got no money. She's probably like some of y'all. She probably feels like she's overworked and underpaid. How many of you feel that way? Raise your hand. Pastor, don't raise your hand. Overworked and underpaid. That's another conference for another time. Amen. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Man of God, by the way, is worthy of double honor, the Bible says, especially they that labor in the word and the doctrine. Amen. So just remember that. That's just a message for another time. Overworked and underpaid. But the Bible tells us that he said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Well, it's already been a famine. There's already been no rain. The brooks have already dried up, and he's asking her for water. Well, let's just be honest. That was probably, in her condition, where they were at and what they were dealing with, that was probably a sacrifice.
Yes,
yeah. I'm going to just go out on a limb. Hey, bring me a little bit of water in a vessel. Well, it hadn't rained. The brooks have dried up. Don't know what condition the wells are in, but water is scarce. And yet he said, bring me a little water. And she didn't hesitate. She turned to go into the house, the Bible says, and went to go get him that water, as she was going to fetch it, verse number 11. See, she's already making some sacrifice, but it's not too bad yet. It's not too much. He's just asking for a little water.
Right.
He didn't ask for a pitcher of water. He didn't ask for a bathtub of water. He didn't ask for a barrel of water. He's asking for a little water that I may drink it. And so as she was going to fetch it, he said, hey, excuse me, ma'am, while you're in there, get me that little bit of water. How about make me a cake and bring it to me? So what he said, I pray thee, bring me a morsel of bread in thine hand. Well, now she stops and she turns around. And I can almost see her now saying, preacher, I didn't have a problem with that little bit of water. I mean, we got some. I don't mind sharing a little bit of that. But now you're asking me to make a sacrifice. You're asking me for a morsel of bread. You want me to give you a morsel of bread? I don't know how many times I've read this story. I don't know how many times I've preached through this chapter. And it occurred to me just the other day, God had already commanded her to sustain him.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Did God not command her to sustain him?
Right.
Yet when he said, I need a morsel of bread, she said, hold on just a second. I have not a cake.
Yeah.
Who does that sound like?
Right.
Who does that sound like?
Yeah.
She said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake. Well, let's just pause just a minute. Did she have a cake or not?
Yeah.
We could split hairs. Okay, we could split hairs and say, well, she didn't have a cake. No, but she had the stuff to make one.
Right. Yeah.
Which is having one.
Yeah.
Huh? But she said, as the Lord my God liveth, I have not a cake. Now I wonder why God would send a preacher over there for you to sustain. He ain't living by faith, trusting God for every single meal.
Yes, sir.
Not knowing where the next meal is going to come from. He's already commanded you to sustain him, and he's already told him that you was going to sustain him, and told him that you was there, and he got to where you was at, and you was there, and now he's telling you he needs a morsel of bread, and you're acting like you ain't got none.
Come on.
Yeah. Come on.
I have not a morsel of bread. I have not a cake.
Yeah.
She says, I do have a little handful of meal in a barrel. Now, this is a little widow lady.
Yeah.
I'm going to assume she didn't have a very big hand. The lady back here that's supposed to be 92 years old, I don't believe a word of it. I don't believe for one second. How old are you? 91. I apologize. I got it way wrong. You don't look a day over 60, okay? You don't look a day over 60, all right? I'm just going to hand this to you while I'm complimenting you. Throw a little something in there, amen? But I guarantee you, if we was to ask this dear saint of God to hold her hand out and pour a meal in her hand, it wouldn't hold much. And that's what she says, I've got a little handful of meal in a barrel. That's after what all we did last night, the groceries that we threw down on in yonder last night. Huh? I mean, I hurt myself in there last night. True, and if I hadn't had to preach afterwards, I'd eat about two more plates of that food. I'm telling you, it was unbelievable. She says, I've got a little handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. I'm going to tell you how small this cake was going to be. She says, I'm gathering two sticks. I'm going to build a fire with two sticks. That ain't a big fire. That's not a hot fire. You can't build a hot fire with two sticks. That's just enough to brown a little bitty cake on both sides.
That's right.
And then she says, and then I'm going to half it with my son. I'm going to share it with my son. My son and I are going to, I'm going to dress it for me and my son that we may eat it. And then we're going to go in there and lay down and die.
Yeah. Come on.
I don't have a cake. But ma'am, we got a servant of God over here. That God's using and working with and doing amazing things with, performing miracles with.
Right.
Literally changing the nation with this man of God.
That's right.
And I have appointed you this special job of sustaining him.
Yeah. Come on. That's good.
And you're saying you don't have any cake, and then you turn right around and tell me, but you got a cake. Now, do you have a cake or not?
Yeah.
Here's what's going to happen next Sunday when you filled out your faith promise this week.
Yeah.
Next week when you go to write that check, there's going to be a voice in your ear saying you don't have it. I mean, you got it. What you meant to say was you've got it. You just don't have it to give to the man of God.
Yeah. Come on now.
You've got it, but that's just for you and your family.
That's right.
You don't have it to give to the ministry. You've got that. God gave you that to keep for you and your son.
Yeah.
That's what she's saying.
Yeah. That's right.
I mean, I don't have a cake. She said, I don't have a cake. Well, I do have a cake. I just don't have one for you.
Yeah.
That's exactly what's happening. Well, Elijah had dealt with this before. He knows people. You know what he said to her in verse number 13? Fear not. I know you're scared. I know you're about to write out that faith promise missions card and you're nervous. You're afraid that you're not going to have enough money to get you through the week. I've already commanded you to sustain the servants of God. I mean, and he's where he's supposed to be, and you're where you're supposed to be, and he needs you to do something for him, and you're acting like you can't, but you can, because you got it.
Yeah.
He said, fear not. I know you're afraid. I know the thought of you giving me a cake, not your stomach up. But here's what he said. Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after... make for thee and for thy son. And I'm sure she probably thought, preacher, you need to clean your ears out. You can't hear. There ain't no first. Make me one first. Make you one first.
Right.
And then after, go make one for me and my son. I don't know if you understood it or not, but I've only got a handful of meal, a little bit of oil in the cruise, and two sticks. And it's going to take all of that to make you a cake first. There ain't going to be no second cake. But the Bible says that she turned and went and did according to the sayings of Elijah. Now that word sustain in verse number 9, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. That word sustain means to maintain. It means to feed. It means to make provision. This wasn't supposed to be a one and done. Do I need to pick this up every time I make a point? Or can y'all stay with me? This ain't a one and done. I've commanded the widow woman there to sustain thee. In other words, she's going to make provision for you. She's going to feed you. She's going to maintain you. Just like the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank at the brook, and they did that every day till God moved him. Now he's commanding her to sustain him. And that means that every day. It's her job. God gave her the responsibility. God gave her the honor to sustain this man of God.
Right. Yeah.
Of course, she's thinking, well, I'd be lucky if I can just make one.
Right.
But see, God will never tell us to sustain something and him not planning on sustaining us so that we can sustain that. That's the point I want to make tonight. The title of the message is, and I'm almost done, is who is doing the sustaining? Who's doing the sustaining? Well, this widow woman was doing the sustaining. Well, it looks like she's doing the sustaining in verse number 14, verse number 13, but then you get to verse number 14 and you get down to verse number 16 and you realize that God's doing the sustaining.
Yeah.
Yes, she couldn't sustain him if God didn't sustain her. And let's be honest. If she had said to him, "You can go pound sand. I'm going to make this cake for me and my son, and we're going to eat it and die," they'd have made that cake, they'd have ate it, and they'd have died.
That's right, sir.
That's exactly what would have happened.
Right, sir.
Say, stay with me now. Here's what a lot of Christians forget to realize. Well, I can't believe they're asking me to give more money to missionaries. What about me and my family? And we're not going to make it if we keep... Let me tell you something. She was dying when he showed up.
Yeah. Right. Come on.
She and her son was fixing to eat and die before he ever walked into town. She was on her last meal.
Right.
She's on her last little handful of food.
Yeah.
Him showing up and God giving her the responsibility to sustain him is what kept her alive.
Yeah. That's good.
What kept her alive.
That's true. Good.
I just don't know, preacher. I just don't know. My goodness. Let me show you something real quick out of Exodus chapter number 12. I saw this the other day, and I like to come unglued. Moses is building a tabernacle in the middle of nowhere. I mean the middle of nowhere. He's taking up an offering, and the Bible says that God gave him the specs for that tabernacle. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 35, and in verse number 5, God said, "Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever..." Are y'all there? Exodus 35. I'll give you the wrong chapter. Exodus 30. We're going to go back to that chapter, but I got to show you this one first, okay? I don't know why I'm rushing myself. I got all night. "Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord." This is Exodus 35, verse 5. "Whosoever it is of a willing heart, let him bring it. An offering of the Lord. Gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and ram's skins dyed red and badger skins and oil and spices and onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod." Are you kidding me? You're taking up an offering out here in the middle of nowhere, where we've got absolutely no way to replenish our stock. 400 years of slaves. 400 years of slavery. These people ain't got nothing. At least they probably thought that at first. But then they remembered. "I have not a cake. I got a little bit, but I don't have enough for me and you too." Look at this. Look at this Exodus 12. You got to see this. Exodus chapter 12. As they are leaving Egypt, the Bible says in Exodus 12, verse 35, "The children of Israel, according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians." So on the way out of Egypt, they went to their neighbors and said, "Hey, we're leaving. We're going to go worship our God. Can we borrow all your jewelry? Could you hand me your jewelry box, please? Do you mind taking all of your gold and your silver and your jewels? Can I borrow it, please?" And those Egyptians were just so glad to get them out of town because they'd all lost their firstborn. And the Bible says they went through Egypt and spoiled the people with raiment and jewels and everything. But there's a word that keeps popping up. It's in verse number 35. It says they borrowed. In verse number 36, it says they lent unto them.
Come on.
I'm going to let y'all catch up.
That's good right there. Yeah.
Because God was going to ask for an offering a little bit later on.
Come on.
And knew they didn't have anything to give. So he gave them something to give.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, you got to understand this. It never was theirs to keep.
Right.
It was loaned to them. Yeah. They borrowed it. Meaning they were supposed to just have it for a short while and then pay it back. Y'all getting this?
That's a good truth. Right.
Telling you. And so when he asked for this offering out in the middle of the desert, these people said, "Oh my goodness, We got that gold. We got those. We got those jewels. We got that raiment. We got this and that. And the Bible says that they brought it in Exodus 35. The Bible says that they brought it. And I know there's no way in the world they're Baptists. There's no way that these Israelites are independent Baptists. Because the Bible says in Exodus 35, verse 21, they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle for the congregation and for all of his service and for the holy garments. The Bible says in chapter 36 that they brought everyone whose heart stirred him up. In verse 2, you get down to verse number 5, they're making a Moses saying the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded them. And the Bible says that Moses gave the commandment in verse 6 and caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. They couldn't have been independent Baptists. For the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. Too much. And I'm going to tell you something right now. If this pastor ever here stands up and says, y'all need to stop giving, y'all need to stop bringing to the ministry, I mean, it's just too much, I want you to let me know. I want to come learn the secret to that. Amen. But they took up that offering. And guess what they had? They had what they borrowed. They had what was lent to them.
That's good.
Now, they could have kept it. They could have kept that gold. They could have kept those jewels. They could have kept those precious stones. But in exchange for their offering, they had the presence of God meet with them in that tabernacle. God said, build a tabernacle that I may dwell with them. So you can either have your little bit of stuff over here in the corner that's yours, or you can give it back to God and get something 10 times better in return. Well, let me close with this. We're back in our text. Who's doing the sustaining? I commanded the widow woman there to sustain thee. Well, for her to sustain the man of God, God was going to sustain her. That's exactly how it works. Let me tell you something right now. Listen to what I'm telling you. Just think about it from a business perspective. You don't kill the goose that's laying the golden egg. You heard that saying? That just don't make sense business-wise. You don't shut down a steady stream of revenue. Well, if you've got missionaries that are on a foreign field and they're there by faith because that's where God told them to go.
Yeah.
And you've got a group of churches over here that is sustaining them. Don't think for one second God is going to cut it off on this end.
Right. Yeah. Right. Right.
You're the conduit. The church is the conduit by which God is blessing the missionary so the missionary can give the gospel to the lost. Yes. People are getting saved because the missionary is there. The missionary is there because God's people are giving. And God's going to make sure the people that are giving, He sustains them.
Yes, amen. That's good.
Yes, sir. I'm telling you right now, if you want to see God blow the top off this church and this church grow and explode, you get up this deep in world missions and watch God pour the windows of heaven out on this church. God's not going to let a church drive and shrivel away and blow away that's fulfilling the Great Commission, because there ain't hardly very many churches doing it.
Right.
Let's close out the message with what it says at the... She said in verse number 12, I'm going to go in and dress with me and my son. We may eat it and die. God said, no, I got a better idea. A barrel of meal wasted not. Verse number 16, neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord. Bible says in verse 15 that she went and did according to the word of the Lord of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. Yeah. God says, I don't want your son to die. I want him to live.
Yeah.
But the only way it's going to happen is you've got to give to me first.
Yeah.
First. There's the word, first. Right. Give to me first. And then she went back to the meal barrel, and there was some more meal in there. Not only, boy, this is going to be good right here. Not only did her son not die, but at the end of the chapter, when he died, he didn't stay dead.
Yeah. Come on. That's good.
I mean, he did. Not only did he not die, but when he died, the man of God that she could have said, this man's killing us.
Yeah.
This man's fixing to put us in an early grave, asking us to sustain him. What about my son? That man of God that she obeyed God by sustaining, and God sustained her, then her son got sick and died, and the very man of God that she was sustaining brought her son back from the dead.
Right.
Oh my goodness. You just can't never tell what God's going to do. You just can't never tell. There's no way to tell what God's going to do. But I can promise you this. If He has commanded you to sustain world missions, you give Him His first.
Right.
Fear not. Don't let your heart be filled with fear. You obey God. You do what God said. You let God use you to sustain the ministry and the ministers and the missionaries around the world. And you watch what God will do. Your meal barrel will not fail.
Yeah.
I promise you, it won't. It's not going to happen.
That's right.
That goes contrary to every rule in the Bible about reaping and sowing. You drop one kernel of corn in the ground, you're going to get a stalk with multiple ears, and each ear's got hundreds of kernels on it.
Yeah.
Drop an apple seed in the ground, an apple tree is going to come up with apples and multiple apple seeds in every apple. The rule of sowing and reaping, it is absolutely impossible for you to sow into the work of God and come up on the short end of the stick.
That's
it's
right.
Impossible.
Amen.
It defies God's laws of sowing and reaping.
Yes.
So fear not. The ravens did it without arguing.
Yeah.
If God's people would just be as obedient as the ravens.
Yeah. Come on now.
He commanded the ravens to sustain him, and they did. He commanded the widow woman to sustain him. She balked, but thankfully she obeyed.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Don't say to God, I don't have a cake. What you ought to say is, I've got a cake. I just don't want to share it. Because God ain't never asked anybody for anything they did not have.
Yeah. There you go.
That's good.
He just wants what you've got.
Yes.
So He can give you some more. So He can bless. So He can sustain you. It's called faith.
Yes.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
We live by faith, not by sight.
Right.
You can't, with a calculator, it don't make sense.
That's right.
You sit down and try to put your budget together for the year, and you have your faith promise in there, and it's going to be lopsided. But you mark it down. You give, you be faithful to honor the commitment you've made this morning, and you watch if at this time next year you can't stand up and testify God has sustained you so that you could sustain the work of God. Father, we love You tonight. Thank You for liberty to preach. Thank You for this story in the Word of God that reminds us, Lord, if we'll just obey, if we'll just do what You tell us to do, we will never regret it. Have Your will and way in hearts and lives, I pray. In Jesus' name.